This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Today, and right now, we're going to go to our fourth and final guest of the day. Go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, and pleased to welcome in, as always, the legendary color voice of the Ottawa Senators, Gord Weapon Wilson. Goodrow, how are you?
Oh, fellas, on this fantastic Friday, all the better now to be speaking with you guys. By the way, Brad, great interview with Bobby Ryan today. Always fun to catch up with somebody like that. Great personality, and wonderful to hear him on the radio here this morning.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Always willing to talk, whether about hockey, golf, whatever, or his two Bobcats.
Yeah, or it's too, like, weird, eh? Holy smokes. But you'd think, that, well, that sounds like Bobby. Just a little bit different cat, if you will. And now, have you taught him? Have you golfed with him at all and maybe given him some pointers? Or where does that relationship come from?
I've never played golf with him. We just hooked up early on in his days with the Sens. I told, I guess it was JR. I told JR he donated to a fundraiser that I was running. It was for cystic fibrosis 1 year at the Canadian Open. It was, you know, X number of dollars per birdies or eagles or whatever it would be. And he wrote me a nice check and donated to Cystic Fibrosis Ottawa. So that was the genesis of our relationship. And then we just keep in touch. He loves golf. One of the things he loves to do at night by himself is just Google Earth photos of golf courses. He just runs through all these famous courses, loves seeing the overhead views and researching. And I think one of the things he's done over the past 6 months is when he can day road trip it from Nashville, go play a course that is super famous, exclusive, whatever. So finds a connection, goes and plays a golf course in, let's say, Mississippi, Arkansas, Kentucky, Indiana, any place he's close to.
Fantastic. Certainly nice to have the financial wherewithal to do that, but at the same time have the drive and the ambition to hop in your car and drive 8 hours. He's always, you know, Graham, I think you're aware of this as well. He's driven from Idaho to Ottawa for training camp. He's taken, didn't he rent a Winnebago or something at one point?
He did, a big camper.
Yep. Yeah. So he's got the drive to do it. And I'll tell you what, he'll rank right up there. Top 10 for me is one of the all-time conversationalists. He and I have had over the years many, many conversations about different things. And I know at one point in his life, and certainly that part of his life has changed dramatically, but he was a big wine collector and very knowledgeable on a lot of wines. He still is, probably, but probably doesn't collect them anymore. But that being said, he and I would have lovely discussions about that, or cars. He's big into cars, and yeah, good guy to get to know and have some fun with.
Even as like a scrum interview, he always provided something. Like it was just real thought and emotion. Yeah. Like it wasn't, and not to pick on anyone, but it just wasn't the standard like chips pucks in, get them deep, glassing out kind of thing. Like he was honest, and he was hard on himself too, and you could feel that like when you were speaking with him, if he was in one of his ruts where he wasn't playing well.
Yeah, just raw emotion. He wore it on his sleeve, and fortunately for those of us in our business, we were able to capture that. He was able to provide it. They're willing to provide it, and it made our jobs that much more, for lack of a better term, enjoyable, but certainly some of the raw emotions really did hit home, obviously, when he was going through the tough times. It was easy to jump on board and get behind somebody like that because of just who he is and how he has conducted himself his entire career.
I'll tell you a quick story about Bobby. He had to bail once. I had arranged him to meet my brother's stepson one time, and he had to bail, and he felt awful about it. So he was rehabbing an injury. He'd always get the ice to himself at Sensplex at certain times of the day. And he said, hey, have Sam come out. We'll go for a skate. And so he took about 40 minutes and just fed Sam one-timers, skated around the ice. And by the end, there were probably about 100 people for the next ice time who were just gathered around watching. And he's working with, I think Sam was about 12 or 13 years old at the time. And just, I mean, super generous with his time. So super guy. God. And yeah.
How fantastic is that? You know, just I can relate a little bit. I was certainly a lot older, obviously, playing summer hockey on Thursday nights. Walter Baker Center had the opportunity just before training camp started to have Todd White come out. And then Martin Havlat came out and a couple of other guys came out. And the slugs that I was playing with, we were all in awe. And Walter Baker filled up when word filtered out that we had the largest crowd of Thursday night hockey, 7:30 Thursday night hockey in the history of beer league hockey, I'm sure, just because they wanted to see these guys come out and play what is truly a different game. But good on Bobby. How lucky is Sam? I mean, a lifetime memory, right? A lifetime memory. And Absolutely. This is why it's so important, I think, for the personalities of the Brady Tkachuks of the world, the personalities of the PK Subbans of the world, to come to the forefront here. We're seeing more and more of it. You know, I watched Drake Batherson a couple of times after pregame warm-up go over to the bench, grab a stick. He saw a sign in the stands along the ice, we'll trade you a stick for Skittles. And he'd come across the ice, throw his stick over the boards, and then stand there and wait for the package of Skittles to come over the glass, and he'd bring them back and bring them back to the trainer. I mean, just it's great stuff as far as the NHL is concerned, and we're very blessed to have NHL hockey, obviously, in Ottawa, but at the same time, these players, they're just different, right? They're just different athletes, and so willing to give up their time and share a lot with everybody.
Brad was saying earlier that whenever he needs a pick-me-up, he'll go back to that 2017 run and watch the highlights of that unreal run. Is there something that sticks out for you as maybe your favorite? Just because we were talking with Bobby and about it today, or the guys were talking with Bobby about it today. What sticks out for you, Gord?
Well, there was a Bobby Ryan overtime goal. Was it again?
Penguins game one, I think.
The overtime and made it 3-2. And, you know, Guy Boucher had the philosophy that I love this approach. It was go for it. From the drop of the puck, go for it, win it early. And I think that came within the first 7 or 8 minutes of a hockey game, if I'm not mistaken. Bobby wins a battle on the boards and gets in behind defense and does his thing in front of the net and scored and won it early. And that, to me, that obviously, you know, we're speaking of Bobby, but that clearly comes to the forefront. And I know, Brad, you guys talked about the Dion Phaneuf goal against the Bruins. And Bob said, so important and so much fun to celebrate somebody else's goal because you're in the moment, right? And you're not captured by, or you're captured by the moment. You're not living the moment exactly if you, in fact, had scored. So, yeah, I love all kinds of that stuff. That that magical run was, without question, just that, quite magical.
So, Gord, we'll get into the playoffs and what specifically happened last night. We've talked about it a few different times today, but anything stick out last night, something that surprised you maybe from either the Oilers game or the Hurricanes game?
Jacob Markstrom continued to surprise. There were, you know, he just didn't look to me like the Markstrom we saw in regular season play and maybe, well, certainly in the first round of the playoffs against Dallas. And granted, he's up against the most potent offensive attack in postseason play right now, but Colorado would certainly give the Oilers a run for their money. I just think he could have been and should have provided better goaltending than he provided, and it was a letdown for the Calgary Flames. They relied on him all season long, and they relied on him, but they also got it from him just au naturel. It was every night that he was in the nets there, he gave that team a chance to win. And then all of a sudden there's a little bit of a hiccup in postseason play and doubt creeps in. And when doubt creeps in, that's when you try to do too much. I think the Johnny Gaudreaus and the Matthew Tkachuks of the world were caught off guard by it, perhaps, and probably tried to do a little bit too much. And when you overcompensate and you deviate from your own game because of somebody else's play, boy, oh boy, it can be a real detriment. And I think that didn't help the Calgary Flames at all. The Ranger game was a little bit blasé. Carolina did what they do. And I like Jawad Gallant's comments afterwards that he just felt his team wasn't very good. So now Carolina's got to win on the road. To do that, they will advance, obviously.
What did you think of the decision by the league to overturn that Blake Coleman goal? Did you think that was a kick, or do you think that should have stood up?
Well, certainly it wasn't a kick. Was there a bit, you know what I'll call it? I'll call it a thrust. Okay. Everybody likes
you're one of a kind.
Everybody likes the thrust every night, especially on a Friday or a Thursday night, even for that matter. And I thought there was just the thrust of the leg. Okay, fellas, just get it out of the gutter here, Graham. There was just I thought the league had every right to say there was an extra little push towards the puck. Now, this is the problem with these super slow replays, right? You're able to isolate, problem or not problem. Edmonton doesn't think it's a problem, obviously, at all. But the puck was going in the net anyway. Sometimes you have to ignore replay and let common sense prevail. And I'm of the mindset that the puck was going in anyway, and there was no disputing that. There was no question about whether that puck was going to cross the line. I don't think anybody's stick could have gotten away and got the puck out. If the skate didn't touch the puck, that's where the puck was going, across the goal line. So to me, that's where I have an issue with the super slow-mo replay. Because it did indicate, to me, it looked as though there was a little bit of a weight shift onto that leg of Blake Coleman that helped propel the puck over the goal line. But, again, it didn't need any help. Unfortunate, obviously, for Calgary. Could have shifted things completely. Obviously, I also thought that the Edmonton Oilers got what they deserved. Perhaps maybe not in that game, but certainly in the series.
So switching gears to Colorado and St. Louis, you've been around NHL teams for many, many years. Colorado blows a 3-0 lead the other night, gives up the 4-3 lead late, and St. Louis scores in overtime. Is there something that you see as you make your way to the next game? Is there a demonstrable difference in the tone of how the Avalanche carry themselves? Do you see it in their faces as they move their way to the next game, or is it kind of a, okay, it happened, we move on, game six is super important now?
You know, it's an interesting question because I don't know the dynamics of that team and inside the locker room as well as a lot of people, but I would say Nathan MacKinnon is going to provide, and Gabe Landeskog, their leadership group, and I think led by MacKinnon, because he elevated his game the other night. I honestly think he's not going to let anything creep in to the Avalanche game. They still lead 3-2. They still need the hardest game to win the series. And I think they all know that. The fourth game is always the hardest, and they had the chance to close it out, and they blew it. And obviously they're not going to feel good about that, but I think it's done. It's in the past. We move on. We've won in St. Louis before. Let's just do it again here and get it over with. And if not, look it, we've still got that seventh game on home ice. One thing that is pretty clear for the St. Louis Blues, a veteran hockey club that gets that, you know, with Robert Thomas scoring a couple of goals the other night, he got off the schneid, and that's not good news, obviously, for the Avalanche. The more production St. Louis could get from the guys that haven't been producing, that are expecting to produce or were expected to produce, is a huge plus for the Blues. And, you know, I heard, I can't remember who it was. It might've been Kadri. It might've been Mikko Rantanen. and I think it was Miko, saying that they fully expect St. Louis to lean on their experience and the experience of winning the Stanley Cup not too long ago. And I think we certainly saw that. There was a huge momentum shift in that game five. And obviously the Avalanche weren't allowed to, or didn't have the ability to flip the switch and regain the momentum. St. Louis took full advantage of it. So, you know, I would certainly give the edge to the Blues here tonight. Anything is possible here when you've got Nathan MacKinnon playing the way he's playing.
And you still think that Colorado would be able to take care of business on home ice? Because as Brad pointed out and others have pointed out, when a team's in the situation, the narrative is that they can't get past the second round hurdle. That's going to be the question, the line of questioning up leading up until game seven. So is that something that would be in their heads? And you still believe that they'll be able to overcome that and MacKinnon will be able to kind of drive this team through to that third round?
I don't think they're not going to be able to overcome it. In other words, any question pertaining to not being able to get out of the second round won't enter their minds until after they don't get out of the second round, if that be the case here. I think there's one focus in mind here, and that is just beat St. Louis. Just play it one time. Terrible cliche here. Bobby Ryan would be very unimpressed, but it would be, you know what, you just have to take it shift by shift here. And you know, the first shift starts with forgetting what happened in the last shift in the last game, and believe you me, there's enough time that has passed where they don't remember what took place in that last game, blowing the 3-0 lead. I'm guessing that they are hanging on to that, but they're hanging on to it in the fashion that they scored three to make it a 3-0 game. So you take all the positives you can going into every game, regardless of a win or a loss, and push forward with all those positives. So I don't think Colorado is going into tonight's game feeling really bad about their own game or what, you know, the white noise coming out of the media is providing.
Gord, one of the things that the local media here in Raleigh know about Rod Brind'Amour is his message is always super consistent. It's just, you know, he's very matter of fact. He tells you what happened, and then he's a very process-oriented guy. If you play the right way, things will turn out in our favor over time. We've seen a ton of coaches through Ottawa in the last, 10, 15 years. Does the message actually matter, or does it just matter that it has to be consistent from day to day?
That's a great question here. And my first thought was, before you finished, was it's all about consistency. And if you have a message that turns out to be a successful one and you maintain that message, more often than not, your players are going to completely buy in. And I can give you an example of that, Brad. In January, when the Senators had a ton of time off, the coaching staff got together and said, we're going to change our system here. We're going to tweak things to improve our play defensively. We've got to be better in our own end. There's no question about that. And now is the time to go to the 1-3-1 or the 1-2.5, 1.5, which is what they started to do. And consistently, the coach provided the message that this is going to work for our group. And all of a sudden, you saw after that 6-1 loss to Toronto on January 1st, the team start to shift gears system-wise and play, and everybody picked up on it, and they started to get better results. So it's easy to provide the same message when you get positive results. I watched a Rod Brind'Amour in-game interview behind the bench when his team was down 2-0. I think it might have been Emily Kaplan from ESPN, wonderful reporter, asking him, when his team was down 2-0, is there anything different that has to be done? And Rod the Bod's response was fascinating and fantastic, because he said, you know, we're playing really well. And I don't think they won the game, but they made it close. But his response was, no, we just have to keep playing the same way. Their goalie is playing lights-out hockey. We're getting our scoring chances. We're playing very well. So there's that positive message that has worked for him over the last couple of seasons. Obviously, you know, you can come up against a team that just simply, and coaches can accept this after the fact. Daryl Sutter, I think, accepted it even before the Edmonton game last night. just simply by saying the other team's playing better. We may be a better team, but the other team's playing better right now. Sutter actually said that the other night, and you know what? He was right. Well, Rod Brind'Amour, I think, essentially said the same thing as well, saying basically, you know, we're playing well enough to win, but sometimes the other team just gets a better opportunity. Carolina's up 3-2. They've been the better of the two teams so far. So my guess is the message will stay the same.
Gord, you know what time it is?
The tool and equipment web poll question of the day time?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store, 2205 Robertson Road in Bell's Corners, and the second location, Hawthorne and Russell in the East End. Yes.
Get any new toys for Cottage Rip this weekend?
I did not. Wait a minute. I'm thinking. No, I did not. I'm fully stocked. I put to good use. I can tell you I purchased a generator from them last year, and I put it to good use this past week, that's for sure.
I bet. Well, on to the question. Do you believe the Oilers are good enough to win the Stanley Cup? And your options are yes or no.
Yeah. I you know what? When you're down to the final four, they're off to the conference final here now, waiting for an opponent. When you get down to the final four, I'm going to say yes, you have the opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. And I think the Edmonton Oilers have that chance. Will they? It remains to be seen. There's a lot that goes into winning a Stanley Cup, and health is one of them. Lights out goaltending is another. Hockey gods smile here, hockey gods smile there. Goes a long way. Injuries, obviously, a huge part of the success of a team that wins the Stanley Cup. And they're only halfway through it here, right? The grind is going to get a lot more grindier. And who doesn't like a good grind on a Friday afternoon, right, Brad? I'm going to answer yes. Yes, they will. They have a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
I forget the question.
Gord, as I said earlier, I've been about 11 days in media, so I don't know what's allowed and what's not. So I don't know if I'm supposed to.
A good grind is allowed, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that was a good grind out game last night, wasn't it? So they're happy with that kind of game. And yeah, you're asking the wrong guy what's allowed and what's not allowed, Brad. I called out Harry Wiener on a Montreal broadcast once, and I got slapped for that one. So anyway, that's neither here nor there, fellas.
Can I get you for one more, Gord?
Absolutely. If it's gonna save my job, yes.
little Senators based question, and I'm not gonna let you say depth.
Okay.
What you see in the playoffs so far, you think the core of the Senators, their primary defender Thomas Chabot, you think all those guys are suited for playoff hockey? And maybe what's one thing that's missing other than depth? That you see from these teams that you don't with the Sens in the last couple seasons?
I'm going to say experience, Brad. We don't know the answer to those questions until we actually see how these players perform. Do you, as a fan, do you have faith in Thomas Chabot? Well, you watch him on the international stage and he seems to rise to the occasion. You watched him at junior level on the international stage and he rose to the occasion. Does Brady Tkachuk? I don't think there will be any doubt about Brady Tkachuk, but we're dealing with a completely different animal. Playoff hockey is completely different from anything these guys have experienced in regular season play or in junior hockey or on the international stage as older players. It's just different. So my answer is experience. Until we actually see them up front and in person in a playoff game, it's impossible to answer, because playoff hockey has a way of doing things to players, and the really good ones, obviously, the cream of the crop, rise to the top and have the ability to play. And I think there are players on this Senators team that have the ability to get players to follow along. But again, as I've said, you know, for several weeks here now, and watching these postseason games, all the series, it gives you an indication that it's extremely hard to win one game, let alone seven, or let alone four to win a series. And so until we actually see that happen, it's impossible to answer. So I won't say depth at all. I'll say experience to answer your question.
Do you believe that Drake Batherson's gaining experience with, you mentioned Shabbat and his international play, but Drake Batherson scoring the overtime winner to send Canada to the semifinals yesterday against Sweden, and just how he's kind of come on in the last handful of games of this tournament after dealing with that ankle sprain after being taken out by that minor league netminder.
Yeah, 100%. What we're seeing from Drake, that minor league netminder, having watched Drake now in this situation, you can see that with every shift, he's gaining confidence, and the confidence involves a take chargedness, if you will. In other words, when he has the puck, he's taking charge of the game. And we've seen it happen at the NHL level. We're seeing it happen on the NHL stage or on the international stage. So, yeah, I don't think there's any question. Drake has the ability to lead by example in postseason play.
Well, if Brad's done, I got one more for you, and it's not hockey related.
Uh-oh. This, are these the ones that get me in trouble?
No. Last week, it was last Friday, you told Steve Lloyd and I that you were going to test out the Corona Tropicals at the cottage. You going back to the regular Coronas this weekend?
But yes, I won't say I've already started, yeah, there will be. The Tropicals, hang on here. The one I didn't try is the raspberry and lemon. Now, I didn't know what these were, first of all, Brad. And then I sent a picture of it to Steve and Graham, and boy, did I get called out. There were some very naughty, like mean things texted my way, Fritchie. And while I fully appreciated them, I didn't realize it was a spritzer that this Corona Tropical is. I'm not a big spritzer guy. So I'm going to try the second one, and we'll go from there. But it'll be regular Coronas from here on in.
Attaboy, Gord.
Okay, fellas.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, man. You guys too. Let's keep our fingers crossed that everybody gets their power back and life returns to a little bit of normalcy for all of us instead of just a few.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well said.
Thanks, Gord.
Okay, boys. Cheers. Have a good one.
Okay.
There goes Gord Wilson on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. Take a break. Come back. Got half hour show left here. On In the Box and TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Welcome back to In the Box here on TSN 1200. Pat has texted in, spot on with the tunes today. Keep it up. Thank you. Kenny, you have a theme going today? It feels like it might be a theme show for Kenny Walls. Kenny, you got something cooking?
Kenny, tell him, bud.
Who did what now? I was talking to Lever.
Oh. Sorry, Pat complimented your music choice today.
This isn't my music choice.
Okay. And then I asked, it feels like something's cooking. Do you have a theme going?
I just asked Brad what his genre of music of choice was. I think those were the right words in the right sentence, in the right order. And this is part of what he came back with. So
specific requests? Yeah.
No,
or?
No, just a genre.
And how 80s, would you 80s agree with bands. Pat? Would you agree with Pat, Brad?
Would I? Absolutely. Yeah, nice. He asked me. I said 80s hair bands were kind of my my thing. I listened to a lot of stuff, but this would this reminds me of taking the bus to St. Leonard's, grade six, sitting in the back seat, and a kid halfway down Rideau Valley Drive would bring his ghetto blaster onto the bus every day and just pump whatever mid-80s hair bands were popular at the time. So yeah. That's what I listen to.
Awesome request. Awesome job knocking it out of the park there, Kenny. And while Kenny's on, before I get to Kenny, Brad, I haven't noticed through listening yet for your 11 days of media experience, but are you big into F1 at all? Like, did the Netflix series capture you?
I have not seen any of that. No, I'm not a big race car guy. Even living in the South, I don't do NASCAR either. So, yeah, never... never, if you have a guest on, I can cut my mic and you can ask all the questions.
Well, I don't think we've ever really gotten an F1 guest, although Kenny Walls typically on race weekends will either recap it on Monday or tee it up on the Friday, if Steve Lloyd is kind enough to remember to go to Kenny. So now here's Kenny's opportunity to tell us what's happening this weekend on the F1 schedule, Monaco.
Yeah, it's a historic race in Monaco. The track isn't great for the cars that are out there now. It is so narrow, so small, that it just doesn't allow for actual racing. And we had CJ on last time he was on. I don't remember when that was. There's been so many different people in this week.
Was it CJ and I yesterday?
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, CJ was talking about it, and he went to the race in Monaco, and it's just, it's such a historic track. There's been so much that has happened there, but not a lot goes on when the races happen. And every 15, 16, 20 years or so, there's an outstanding race just based on circumstances. But for the most part, it is a parade that goes around there. And the most interesting part of the race is the qualifying. And that happens the day before. And then once things get sorted out on lap one, depending on how the pit stops go, that's the only part of the actual race that matters. But it's still one that I'll be watching, that I'll be paying attention to, but I'm not expecting a great race. And I haven't checked on the weather recently. Rain could make an impact on that race as well.
So they had that F1 series, obviously. I'd heard it's very popular. And then they came out, the PGA Tour came out and said they were going to do something similar. And then all the big guys signed up, all the guys who have tons of money and no pressure, in my opinion. Do you guys see that as being even comparable? Like, what were the parts of the F1 series that were so memorable and captured everyone's attention?
For me, it's the stuff away from the racing. It's getting to know the personalities. And because there's only 20 drivers, you got into the team bosses as well. And you got different perspectives, and different teams didn't participate early on. Mercedes didn't participate in the first season. I think Red Bull was off on the side for the most part, except for Christian Horner, who got involved immediately. But that's wrong, because Danny Ric was a big part of the first season and he was on Red Bull. So Ferrari wasn't a part of that one. But you don't need the bigger names. You need characters. And if the PGA Tour wants to make it successful, they have to get the most colorful, likable guys out there. Because Daniel Ricciardo was the very first episode of F1. And he is the most likable character in the entirety of F1. And then they had Gunther Steiner, who is the team boss on the worst team in F1.
But crazy, colorful personality.
But very colorful, very outspoken, and willing to put himself out there. And if the PGA Tour wants it to work, those are the type of characters that they need out there. They don't need the buttoned-up top golfers to be putting it out there and showing them going to the grocery store. That's not what I think will attract a wide variety of viewers. But if you can get guys who are willing to put themselves out there and not go overboard with it, but be themselves in front of the camera, then I think that's where they're going to have the most success.
Yeah, for me, it just kind of got me into F1 again. Like, I had followed it growing up. I watched every weekend when Jacques Villeneuve won his title. That's what got me into it, is the chase for that. Then I kind of just got out of the sport, and I knew who would win the championship, but I wasn't watching qualifying or the races. Maybe I'd watch a race a year kind of thing. And then Kenny got me onto the Netflix series, and instantly, I think within the first episode, I'm like, yep, I'm going to follow. I'm gonna follow week to week. So I've done that. And I think that for golf, it would probably just help me get more into it. Especially for me, what I enjoy is just the behind the scene stuff that you don't get until you start seeing these shows. And for me, the first one to do it was 24/7, the Road to the Winter Classic. It just kind of blew my mind. And it's like, you're watching these guys live the dream and kind of what it's like. And you see that for the Amazon series, All or Nothing, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't care for the Maple Leafs, but just seeing the characters, like the like Campbell, I knew his story, but I didn't really know him as a guy. And then you kind of get that curtain peeled away or pulled away, and you see what these guys are like as people a little bit. So that I love that stuff. So the PGA Tour, the CFL, other leagues were to do shows like these, I think it would just open up part of the golf world if we're talking about the PGA Tour that I just don't know a ton about. And I think that's why I'd be interested in it.
Yeah, I think from the golf world perspective, I just wouldn't want to see it turn into a sponsor ad, right? Like Dustin Johnson telling you about TaylorMade and RBC Bank. Like, yeah. We don't need that. We need, I would think that the guys who are, you know, struggling to keep their cards, the underdogs, you know, the guys who bounce back and forth from the Corn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour would be the best stories. But then would people tune in? Would they want to watch, or do they want to see Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas? And my thought is that might be kind of vanilla, just because everyone at the top is so used to being, I mean, they're not robots. And we've seen over the past couple of major championships, guys opening up about how they felt going into Sunday, which was, you know, Scottie Scheffler saying he bawled his eyes out to his wife. Am I ready for this? The morning of the Sunday of the Masters. And then Mito Pereira at the PGA Championship saying, boy, I thought I was nervous on Thursday. I could hardly breathe on Sunday. Those are the things that people want to know about, because sometimes it looks super easy on television. And I can assure you it is not. So I would think that either you want to capture the challenges that the top players face as they're playing well, or the challenges and the impact of what playing poorly does to kind of the middling, you know, bottom part of the PGA Tour. I think that, I mean, that's where I spent most of my career, quite frankly, but it's, you know, it's different challenges, right? Like some guys aren't worried about money whatsoever. And some guys, you know, depend on that week's check to kind of keep them going. So it's always, as long as everything can be out in the open, I think either one could be really good for golf.
Now, not all players have this ability, but what's it like to keep your composure when the cameras are on? Like when Pereira hit that tee shot on 18 on Sunday, like you just think of the average person probably melts down and throws their club or breaks it or whatever. And he just, of course he wasn't unfazed, but it almost looked like there was no emotion watching that play out. We're seeing that he's probably not going to win. Like how do you keep your composure in those moments? Not that you have to, but what's the feeling like knowing the cameras are on you and everything?
Well, first of all, he hit that tee shot in about 5 seconds from the time he pulled the club to getting the tee in the ground to hitting it. It was super fast. And when Brendan Steele was on with us on Tuesday, he said, it just looked like I need to get this over with. So I've certainly been in that position before. You just wanted to, you know, that moment to kind of end. Any time, extra time that you take is time where things can go wrong in your mind in that moment. You'd like to think that you prepare yourself all your life for those moments, but sometimes they just don't go the way you want them to sometimes. But in terms of his reaction to it, well, he still had the whole rest of the hole to play. So he was, he needed to hit that shot, his third shot on the green, make a bogey and hopefully go to a playoff. But yeah, he just, things can unravel quickly. I know it takes about 20 minutes to play a hole, but in your mind, it feels like, you know, 10 or 15 seconds when things aren't going well and they're kind of, your chances of winning a major are disappearing before your eyes. It goes way faster than you'd think.
Just back to the potential golf Drive to Survive type of series. As an up and coming player or somebody who's bouncing back and forth between the PGA Tour and lower levels, would you want the cameras to follow you around and have that added pressure of knowing that you're going to be one of the features on this series?
As a rookie, I probably wouldn't have wanted it because it was, you know, first time on tour. I knew that it was going to be a pretty big challenge to keep my card just based on, you know, my entire career. It was bouncing around from, you know, kind of the double A level to triple A. And now I'm in the big leagues. I kind of want to, ignore everything else and just focus on that. I'm not sure that I would want to, but you know, we're in the era of people's brands. You know, golfer's brand is pretty important to a lot of people, and there's no better way to get your name out there, to hook up with potential sponsors, to just get your face on, you know, on Netflix. I mean, it's the biggest streaming service in the world, as far as I know. I think that's a huge opportunity for a guy who otherwise, with his play, hasn't garnered as much recognition as the top players.
Just while we're on this subject, have you guys seen yet? I think it was released yesterday morning. The E60 trailer, Unrivaled, the Red Wings Avalanche. Have you guys seen that trailer yet?
Just saw it on the break, the last break.
How pumped up are you for that?
Awesome. Oh yeah, I remember those games, man. And when Patrick Waugh and Chris Osgood went at it, my goodness, that was such a great time for hockey. I mean, obviously some people don't like the fighting, but just the rivalry and how much those teams hated each other on the ice. That was quite a time. I don't know about Kenny if he's seen it.
Now he's shaking his head. I'll send it to you, Kenny. It's incredible, and I can't wait to watch it. We will take a break, come back with one final segment, and then it's Chris Stevenson and Lee Versage from TD Place with The Drive. Then AJ or Lee will take you through the pregame show at 6 before AJ and Jeff call the game at 7:30 on a game day here on TSN 1200. Just wanted to pass a note along before the show is done here, and Kenny is going to be, I believe, producing half of The Drive. So, Kenny, this is a note for you as well. It's probably going to be in a traffic update, but texters just sent a text into 12-1200 where standard messaging rates apply, saying there's a massive accident Queensway eastbound at Island Park at the little walkway bridge. Fire police on scene, three lanes blocked out. For not going anywhere anytime soon, do not get on the Queensway eastbound. So thanks for that note. It was sent in about 20 minutes ago. Not sure what the status is now, but I'm sure Kenny will provide that information at about 2:15. Pretty much does it for today's show, Brad. Thanks for stepping in again and for lining up a great guest. If you missed Bobby Ryan with Brad and with JR earlier today, you could find that up at tsn1200.ca. But how's your first 11 days been like in the media, and what's your weekend like?
This has been fun. I got a text earlier from an old friend of mine. He said, boy, you sure can talk. I don't know if that was a compliment or or constructive criticism, but no, it's been fun. I enjoy, like I said earlier, just kind of getting feedback from all kinds, you know, Gord's color commentator, Bobby played in the NHL, just what they see every night. Because I love watching hockey and just kind of breaking it down in my head what I see. And a lot of the time it matches up, but sometimes it doesn't. My first interview with Gord, I said something about Mike Smith overhandling the puck. And he goes, no, that's a huge advantage. Everyone talks about it on the team. And he went on from there. And so, you know, it's okay to be wrong. I thought I saw one thing and it was something different. So I just like, I love hockey. I always say I was a golfer, but I loved hockey first and foremost. So this is it's fun to talk hockey, no doubt.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome both speaking with you and listening to you on the chances that I've had to be able to do so. And I think what I learned is that you're an overall just sports guy. Like obviously there's the golf and the hockey, but yeah, realizing the other day how much you follow and know your basketball and just other things that are going on in the world too. And we're talking CFL today with Tim Baines as it's a Red Blacks game day. So that's it's been fun.
Might've been a little bit of reading I had to do about the Red Blacks, I'm not going to lie. And AJ had Javon Shepard on the other day, GM of the Ottawa Blackjacks basketball team. I definitely had to look him up and see what his history was all about. So, but you're right. I love sports. Everyone in pro-ams would say, what do you do other than, you know, play golf? What's your hobbies? And I would kind of stop and, I don't really have one. I watch a lot of sports. That's about it. So this might be the right avenue for me. I'm not sure, but I've had fun doing it so far.
Yeah, awesome. Today and this weekend on the station, we'll have, starting tomorrow, we'll have U.S.-Finland semifinals at the World Hockey Championships at 7 a.m. then Canada taking on the Czechs at 11. We'll have the gold medal game Sunday at 1. We will also have Game 7 between the Miami Heat and Boston Celtics if it goes to a Game 7. Tonight, 6 o'clock pregame, Lever Sage, James Duke Ellington, Dave Naylor, the CFL insider this year, leading you up to kickoff, which is at 7:30. AJ Jakubek, Jeff Avery have the call. And the drive is up next. So I want to thank Bobby Ryan, Travis Yost, Tim Baines, Gord Wilson for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Kenny Wallace for producing and Brad Fritch for co-hosting and JR stepping in for an hour and a half to kick things off as well. Well, thanks everybody and have a great weekend.
All right.